I wonder if you've ever been so surprised or shocked by an event or perhaps a twist in a programme or a film or a book that you're reading that you've either gasped or screamed or not been able to speak. Perhaps there's been a scary twist in the plot. Maybe an unlikely villain was revealed or a character you thought had disappeared suddenly swooped in and saved the day. Or instead, maybe you've received news that was shocking. Maybe it took your breath away for a while. Or maybe you've had that feeling where there's just a rush of emotions to a lovely surprise that brings happy tears but not many words. Before I moved to London 10 years ago, my housemates at university threw a surprise leaving party for me. I went out for dinner with my best friend. We came back afterwards to hang out, I thought, to watch Britain's Got Talent, and I was stunned to open my living room door to find a huge gathering of friends who all shouted, "Surprise!" Now, I must confess, a rather surprising word came out of my mouth, and then I was quite unable to talk for a good 10 minutes. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, as I recovered from the shock. You know, I was so taken aback by this unforeseen twist in the evening, and I was quite overwhelmed by seeing so many of my friends in that room. Now, some of the best evenings have pleasant surprises in them. Some of the best TV programmes and books and films are the ones that keep us guessing right until the end. But whatever our favourites, no story quite compares to the one at the centre of our Christian faith. The ultimate plot twist, the greatest comeback, the biggest wow that has ever been written. The one that transforms the world throughout history is the story we gather to proclaim today. Christ is not dead. He has risen. Hallelujah. And in the garden, he appears first to Mary Magdalene, the woman with a questionable backstory, but the one who dares to wait and weep by his tomb. The same Jesus who seeks out Mary in the garden, who sends the woman to go and share the news that changes everything, is the same God who uses ordinary, broken people to share his love and hope with those around them. Now let's jump into this glorious story together and see what the risen Lord Jesus wants to say to each of us this morning. Now, very early on Sunday morning, just after dawn, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and some other women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. But when they arrive at the tomb, they see the stone has been rolled away, and so they run to find the disciples to tell them the awful news. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where his body is. I wonder who that they was. Maybe they feared the temple authorities or the high priest or perhaps even the Romans had taken Jesus' body away. Now straight away, Peter and John run towards the tomb, and whilst John outruns Peter and waits outside, Peter arrives and heads straight in, classic Peter behaviour. There they find the linen cloths and the head covering that would have been on Jesus' face. Importantly, these grave clothes are folded and left neatly. I don't know about you, but this doesn't look like a robbery site, does it? How many burglars do we know that clean up after themselves after they've taken what they want? In the empty tomb, there is an order and a calmness. We're told the disciples do not yet understand that Jesus has risen from the dead. And then, in perhaps one of the most bizarre details in all of Scripture, we are told Peter and John simply go home. The body is missing. There's no evidence trail, and yet Peter and John simply leave. Perhaps they were worried about what might happen next. Perhaps they were so overwhelmed by grief. Whatever reason, they simply head back home and leave Mary at the tomb where she stands outside weeping. Now, we don't know how long passes, but as Mary's heart continues to break, notice that she's alone. Solitude has become normal again. Jesus, the one who had loved her, the one who had changed her life, is dead, under the most atrocious and traumatizing circumstances. And now she fears that even in death, something awful has happened to Jesus' body. She weeps. She fears. But she can't leave this place. See, the group of the disciples and the close followers of Jesus is already fracturing. Sorrow and fear are the main emotions early on that first Easter day. Peter and John simply go home, but Mary stays. We don't really know why. Perhaps she just wanted to be close to where Jesus had last been. Maybe she had nowhere else to go. But as she weeps, she dares to look again into the tomb. And there she sees two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had been laid, one at the head, one at the feet. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary again pours out her sorrow. "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Notice Jesus is still her Lord. The other disciples may have given up the search. Cleopas and another have already begun their journey away from Jerusalem. John and Peter simply go home, but here is Mary, still wanting dignity for Jesus. She wants to honour him and find the body. Now, as she stands up again from the tomb, she's aware that someone is behind her. It's Jesus, but she doesn't recognise him yet. Notice his question matches the one of the angels. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And we're told that Mary thinks it's the gardener. And so Mary asks if he's taken the body and laid it somewhere else. People often say to me, "Why doesn't she recognize it's Jesus?" Well, maybe Mary doesn't lift up her head to meet his eyes. Maybe she suddenly realizes she's alone once more in a garden with an unknown man. And so out of fear or respect due to the cultural norms of the times, she doesn't fully look up or engage fully in a conversation. Or maybe, perhaps her weeping and sorrow has blinded her to the reality that Jesus stands with her. Or maybe it's because she had been there at the cross right till the end, and the trauma of what she witnesses is still replaying in her mind. Dead people can't come back to life. Or can they? And then in one of the most beautiful moments in Scripture, Jesus speaks again, one word, "Mary." And she knows it's him. "Rabboni," she gasps through tears, and she must throw her arms around him. "Teacher, Lord." The one who had speaks her name had given her meaning and purpose. The one who had brought her healing, the one who earlier on in Scripture had restored her dignity. Well, this man again speaks her name and changes everything. Jesus' next words often startle many, because he says, "Mary, stop clinging to me. Go and tell the disciples. Go and share the news. Mary, go and tell them I'm alive. And I'm soon to ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary, don't keep it to ourselves. We can't just stay in the garden, the two of us. This news isn't just for you, Mary. It is for you, but it's also for the others. Don't just hold me, Mary. Don't keep the good news here. Go and share it." And so Mary goes and announces to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." The first evangelist, the first witness to the risen Lord Jesus is Mary, a woman with a past, a woman left behind to weep on her own at the tomb, a woman whose testimony wouldn't even have been valid in court. And yet she waits and encounters the Lord and is sent out with a purpose and a message. The same God who transformed Mary's life, who speaks love and meaning and purpose and hope to her, is the same God who speaks to each of us this morning. The same Jesus gives to each of us the same instructions. It's a glorious story, but the story continues through us. What might God want to say to each of us this morning? Well, first of all, I wonder how you respond this morning to an empty tomb. Maybe you'll be a bit like Peter and John. You'll come to church online this morning and have a bit of a look around, but decide to just go home. I mean, you're already at home, but just to go on as normal. To carry on with the affairs of the day. You'll maybe see something a bit different or unusual about this empty tomb. But then there'll be other pressing matters, maybe more convenient things to do. Perhaps there's a busyness or something to get ready for. Maybe your questions or fears about how others will respond to this empty tomb or to your interest in it might lead you to just want to move on with the rest of your day. I mean, let's just stop for a moment. How crazy is it that Peter and John learn from Mary that the tomb is empty? They find it empty and just go home. They fail to stay around, to look closer. They miss out on what happens next. Maybe instead you'll be like the temple guards or the Romans who hear of the story of the empty tomb, that hear that Jesus' body is missing, and immediately start to come up with different theories to blame others for the crime that hasn't even been committed. Try and explain away the empty tomb. Maybe this morning will be like Mary, disturbed by what she finds, but intrigued to discover more, beginning the hunt to find out where Jesus is. Today, can I encourage you, whatever your reasons for joining in this morning, stop. Have a look around this tomb, find it empty, and then be like Mary and seek out Jesus. Now, if the events of the first Easter day are true, which I wholeheartedly believe they are, it changes everything. Don't just listen in and then carry on as normal. Explore and discover the God who rises from the dead, who brings purpose and healing to broken hearts, and who still wants to change lives and free people to live life in all its fullness. You know, it's not just a good story. It's the transformation of history. And it really happened. How do I know that? Because just look at how John retells it. The most unlikely person, Mary, is revealed to be the first witness, the first evangelist. I mean, literally, you could not make that detail up. You know, if you're trying to create a good story, someone important would have seen the risen Lord Jesus first. Women in those days weren't even allowed to talk in court. So why would you have a young female with a questionable past encounter Jesus first unless it really happened? We could say the same thing about the folded grave clothes. What a random detail to be included, except that that's how they found it. It shows perfect order and peace. I don't know about you, but I love that the first thing the resurrected Jesus did was to fold up the grave clothes. Now, parents and carers, what a message for you kids. If Jesus can come back to life again and make his bed, so can you, Sunday school and youth group. Maybe some of the adults too. What about John and Peter's race to the tomb? That detail adds absolutely nothing to the story, except that it's what happened. It humanizes the story to know that John wanted us to know for the rest of history that he was a faster runner than Simon Peter. Yes, Simon Peter was going to go on to be the leader of the church. Yes, Simon Peter would preach the message on Pentecost. But remember this morning, John was a faster runner. And promise that Mary waits by the tomb to try and find the body. If Jesus hadn't appeared to her, she would have waited the rest of her days because there was no body to find. Because Jesus was and is alive, risen from the grave. If it wasn't true, if Jesus hadn't come back to life, that would have been easy to disprove. All they would have had to do was show us the body, the evidence of what had happened to it. You know, my personal relationship with Jesus aside and the transformation he has brought to my life aside, do you want to know the reason why I have absolute confidence this story is true? Because if not, why were all the disciples and the early followers of Jesus willing to die rather than deny that what they said had happened? Why didn't they all, when faced with torture and death, just admit they'd made it up? That they hadn't really seen or chatted with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you know me, you know I love a good joke. I'm a queen of the wind-up, but you better believe I'm not getting punched or killed for a good joke, for a clever lie. If Jesus hadn't really risen from the dead, one of the disciples would have cracked. One of them would have admitted the disciples made it up rather than die. But instead, they all gave their lives proclaiming the same message as Mary shared that first Easter day with them. We have seen the Lord. He is risen from the dead. And it changed everything. So let me ask today again, how will you respond to the empty tomb and the risen Lord Jesus? If God's knocking on the door of your heart this morning, let him in. Don't just look into an empty tomb and go home and carry on. Jesus being alive changes everything. And God's got love and hope and purpose and healing for us this day. Because he knows you and he longs for you to know him too. Mary stands weeping outside the tomb. She's devastated, she's broken. The worst thing she thought possible has already happened because Jesus is dead. Then with a simple question followed by her name, everything changes. At the sight of our tears and our sorrow, after a whole year of global pandemic and countless bad news stories, a year in which has been so difficult for so many of us in so many different ways, Jesus is here. Whether we see him and recognize him or not, Jesus is present with us at the tomb. As we weep, our tears are seen. Jesus comes close asking, "Why do you weep?" Jesus doesn't make assumptions. We saw that a few weeks ago and he asks us to tell him our stories. He knows why Mary is weeping. But he asks us to share of our pain and our sorrow with him, that we might know we are seen and heard. And then with beautiful simplicity, Jesus speaks Mary's name. And in a moment, everything shifts for Mary. Sorrow to joy, hopelessness to hope, isolation to relationship once more. What's going on in this moment? Well, earlier on in John's Gospel, Jesus had said he was the Good Shepherd. He said he would call his sheep by name and that they would know his voice. And here at the sight of the tomb in the garden, Jesus calls Mary by name and she knows it's him. She knows his voice, his love, and she responds, "Mary, you're known. I see you. I love you." You know, Mary has suffered so much in life, but she hears her name simply spoken by the one who doesn't judge her, the one who had freed her from demons and a reputation, the one who took her wounds and brought healing and brought her into community, the one who gave her dignity and a new start. Jesus speaks Mary's name and the gravesite is the garden once more. Her mourning becomes the dance, the tears of sorrow replaced with tears of joy. Whatever your story this morning, morning. Jesus sees you and he speaks your name. You're more than a past mistake. You're more than the worst kind of reputation. You're so much more than the regrets and the shame and the shoulda, woulda, coulda stories you're carrying. Whatever anyone else has called you or branded you as, Jesus calls you by your name. Beloved, you are loved and seen this morning. Step away from the tomb. Embrace Jesus in the garden. You know, so often Christianity is told in a way that sounds like Jesus died and rose again to make bad people good. But that's not the good news of Easter today. It's also not that Jesus died so that we might follow some rules and restrictions and live boring lives. That isn't why Jesus died either, although some Christians might have made it seem that way. It's not the gospel. That's not why we celebrate this morning. Jesus died and rose again so that we too might fully live. Christianity is not about behaviour modification. It's not bad to good. It's death to life. Bondage to freedom, meaningless and striving to purpose and life in all its fullness. For Mary, it's grave to garden, shame to hope, reputation to name, sorrow to joy. What's it for you this morning? Now, some of you might have seen the video that Reverend Dave Chesney and I put out each Tuesday. This week, I was reflecting with him on how we see the messages of the gospel in TV and in films. And this week, I have been so struck. This is the profound teaching you came for this morning. I've been so struck by the story in Toy Story 4. I hope you've seen it. If you've not, watch it this week. Toy Story 4 has this character called Forky. And this character has spoken to me this week. Forky, it might not surprise you if you don't know, is a plastic fork. An implement made to be disposed of after use. But Forky in Toy Story 4 becomes the child Bonnie's special toy. She decorates him and she loves him. And she gives Forky a new purpose. But Forky has a crisis. He repeatedly tries to throw himself in the bin, repeating the phrase, "I'm trash, I'm trash, I'm trash." Because that's what he's been told. He's a disposable fork. But Forky's life takes on a totally new meaning when he realizes he's been made for a new purpose. And that he's loved by the one who made him. Today you might think you're trash or rubbish because we're not American, but the one who made you and loves you says something different about you altogether. Easter declares that despite how you see yourself this morning, God loves you so much he'd die for you. No one is too far gone. No one can, in fact, do anything to stop God loving them. My key question for you this morning is, will you believe that you are loved and seen and known by Jesus Christ? Are you ready to step away from weeping by the tomb to embrace Jesus in the garden and step into the hope and freedom and the new beginning he brings? Notice, though, with me Jesus' response to Mary's embrace. He says, "Mary, let go. Don't cling on to me." You want to bet if I knew that Jesus had died and he then appeared to me, I would have been wanting to hug him as well. But Jesus says, "Mary, stop clinging to me. Because there's still work to be done. Go and tell the others. Go and share the message that changes everything." Don't tell me this morning that God can't use women or people with questionable pasts, because it's who Jesus picked to be the first bearer of the most important newsflash history has ever seen. Mary, the first evangelist, the first preacher to the resurrection, needs to leave the garden and go out into the world. Mary needs to stop clinging to Jesus and go and bring others to him so that they too might encounter him. I wonder where we as a church throughout history have been guilty of just wanting to cling to Jesus, of just wanting to sit at his feet, to hold on to him amidst the comfort of his presence, rather than going out into the world to share the message of good news with those too like us who are broken and in need of his comfort and love and peace. You know, where have we got too comfortable in our praise parties that we fail to invite others to the celebration? Where might we need all to be reminded this morning of a call as witnesses to the resurrection of the risen Lord Jesus? Who do we all need to share the good news of Easter with? Who can we drop a message or a phone call to? What today will we post on social media? Maybe you might want to share the service. Maybe you might want to share your favourite Easter praise song or your favourite scripture that would invite others to begin a conversation. Maybe you might want to share the difference that Jesus has made to your life. Because Jesus still calls all of us to share the good news of the gospel. Jesus still comes to transform broken, sorrowing, and fearful lives. That's my story too. To transform us with the sheer gladness and excitement of discovering him alive and with us. Jesus still uses ordinary people with backstories and questions and doubts and fears and insecurities and hopes to share his message today. How have you seen the Lord? What difference has Jesus made to your life? Don't you want that for others too? How can you share the good news of Jesus this week? The tomb was empty. Jesus has risen from the dead. Transformation and hope are possible. Hallelujah. Death is not the end because love wins. Jesus calls you by your name. He's present at the site of your sorrow. It's time to step away from the grave though, to come embrace Jesus in the garden, to know his love, his hope, his purpose for you, and the fullness of life he promises to you this day and every day. Have you seen the Lord? How today do you respond to the empty tomb?